Hey y'all, we are back with another episode of Bat Talks. It's been a minute.
A minute.
You know, we took a little bit of a break. As you guys know, it's, I guess everyone's having that busy season of change. We're adjusting back to this post-pandemic, sort of still in the pandemic life. I feel like we've been talking about COVID forever. But anyway, we thought we would come back with some more enlightening material for you guys.
Conversation.
And we found somebody really cool that we wanted to talk to. So we're like, let's do another show, right?
Yes, indeed. What a way to start it off after this long hiatus, if you want to say hiatus.
Yeah. So we're going to introduce to you all Miss Toni Ann Craft. She is the founder of Friends with Rings Network. Welcome to the show, Toni.
Thank you for having me. So excited to be here, Elizabeth and Kay. This is fun.
Yeah. So I want you to kind of tell people about like what you do, you know, how you came up with the concept of Friends with Rings Network. I know people are like, what is this, like promise rings? Is this about marriage? About some kind of support group? I want you to tell people a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So I am the founder of Friends with Rings. We are a multicultural and inclusive membership network, or I like to say membership community, because that's really what it is, for married and engaged couples. So during the wake of the quarantine, kind of to give you some insight into how Friends with Rings got started, in 2020, my husband and I, we had recently relocated from the DC area to New York City, which is where I'm from, you know, and we didn't really have any married friends. No one was really nearby. Everyone was back in our home base of DC. And honestly, in our tiny New York City apartment, we were driving each other crazy, you know, and eventually, one day, so backstory, I have a background in building membership networks for many different organizations over the past decade. So during this time when my husband was driving me nuts, and I'm sure I was driving him crazy as well, I thought back and I said, you know what, why not create a membership network that I wish existed in my own life? And that is how Friends with Rings got birthed.
So how long have you and your husband been married is my first question.
We have been married for 3 years.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you.
And then, man, you moved from DC to New York. That is like a hard decision. I just have to side note that for a minute, because DC is such a cool city. And not that New York isn't, because New York is too in a different way.
Yeah.
But it's like a little bit of I'm guessing, an adjustment for you guys.
Believe it or not, it's been more of an adjustment for me, and I'm from New York, than it has been for him. But we've lived in DC for so long that it's been where I've spent my entire adult life. So coming back to New York, and then of course COVID, and it's like tiny apartments. It's been a huge adjustment. And that was, I would say, definitely a building year for my marriage.
What has been the hardest adjustment? I'm curious, because again, when you go from DC to NYC, what has been, and it can be something small to most, but to you guys, it probably was, I'm sure, magnified.
Right. I think COVID was honestly the hardest adjustment. So for me, most of my family is here. Thankfully, my husband is very close with my family as well. So we had the family structure down pat, but when it came to friends, we didn't have any friends in New York, really, at least not married friends. You know, I have my childhood friends, but of course, over the years, those relationships, they kind of evolve and become a little different. So I would say for us, the isolation of that plus COVID plus a tiny New York City apartment really did it for us.
Sounds like you guys went through what they call boot camp.
Oh yeah, that was some 1 year of boot camp plus counting, because we're kind of still in it, you know, but we're seeing the light on the end of the tunnel.
So you mentioned something pretty interesting, and I know, like, being remarried again, that you know, when I was single, that there was almost like a difference of friends that were married versus single, and then there's friends that were married that wanted to only hang out with married couples. And sometimes there were still married people that had single friends, but the relationship seemed to really change, you know, because of the dynamics that come with being married. Right. Do you feel like, I mean, form this community, we'll talk more about what the community's purpose is, Do you feel like it's possible still to have relationships with single people once you're married, or do you feel like it just, it becomes too difficult because of some of the differences in value systems that may shift?
That's a great question. I think it's definitely still possible to have your single friends and still keep that friendship, but there is a shift that happens, right? Because when you're just dating, right, you can go back to your girlfriend or whomever and say, oh, I can't believe he did X, Y, Z, or, you know, you can share those issues that you have in your relationship. However, when you get married, one thing I knew up front is that I cannot now share the issues that I have with my spouse, with my single friends, because now what I'm looking for is mentorship. So I'm looking not necessarily just for someone to vent to, but I'm looking for someone that has experience in that area so that they can give us guidance and insight. Because another thing is, not everybody that you share your information with wants to see you succeed. So you really want to have that trust, especially when it comes to your marriage.
It's so funny you say that. There's a quote of a post I had on my feed that said, your relationship is not a community project. Mm. And I think you get into a relationship with someone in general, and it's serious, and then you move to marriage, there's certain things that should probably stay between that husband and wife, because sometimes you have fallouts or different things and you share with friends and family, and it could definitely shape the way they view that person, and you'll move beyond that, but they still will be stuck in that viewpoint. And so you really have to be very intentional about who you're talking to your relationships with. And so I get what you're saying about that mentorship or talking to someone who has gone through it or who's in the same situation, that it helps a lot.
And not just the mentorship, but let's be real, when we actually tap into other individuals who are not only in that situation, but have excelled and have proven the test of time, that's who we look up to. Right. So I like that term as well. You know, Chi, I have to piggyback off what you said. When you mentioned mentor, it's like, ooh, because that's next level.
Exactly.
You know, whether it's in business relationships. So I just love that terminology that was used.
And I was going to add, Tony, like, I feel like this is a really great concept that you're doing, because when we want to strive in our careers, we get a mentor. When we want to learn a craft, we try to find a mentor or someone who has more experience in it so that we can sharpen that particular skill set. But when it comes to relationships, for whatever reason, we keep kind of trying to do the same thing that doesn't work, figuring it out, falling down, like repeating ourselves. And there's proven models of couples out there who have really kind of mastered and been through some of the pitfalls that you can avoid, that can talk you through it so quickly because they went, you know, they already have experienced it and they know how to kind of recover for us. I think it's very commendable that you saw this need for this group and you created this group. One thing I think is pretty interesting is you combine people who are engaged to be married as well as married people. Can you tell us kind of what your thought process around
doing that was? Definitely. And kind of before I jump to that, to backtrack a little bit, another element of Friends with Rings is that we also have what we call our preferred provider network. So this is a network of coaches and counselors who have partnered with Friends with Rings to provide their services to our members at a discounted rate. So we have about 15 preferred providers in our network. They range from everything from marriage coaching, relationship coaching. We also have, someone that deals with finances. So financial coaching, we have infidelity. So the various different aspects or things that different couples may deal with in their marriage. We have someone that also deals with infertility. These are all issues that married couples have. Now, to kind of answer your question, what I found is, of course, the goal for any engaged couple is marriage. So what I found is that most of our engaged couples, though we do have events that we try to, you know, every once in a while we cater specifically to engaged couples, what we find is most of the times these couples, they want to come to the married events, you know? So what we've done is everything is just catered around creating a stable and happy and healthy marriage. I'm kind of picking up as I go like a snowball. But the other thing is, you know, you always hear the term that it takes a village to raise a child. I believe that it also takes a village to become a better spouse, because what we find when we isolate ourselves in marriage is that we think that our problems and our issues are unique to us. But when you find a community that you can truly trust and they share, you know, some of the things that they're experiencing. So we have this thing called Love Seat Sessions. And these are our virtual coaching sessions where our coaches come in and they coach on a particular topic. And as couples are sharing some things they're going through, other couples are like, wow, I didn't realize that, you know, other people go through this, because this is something we're going through too. So they're learning that their issues are not unique to them.
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing. I think when people feel isolated, that's where shame happens, right?
Absolutely.
And where they feel like they're the only person going through that thing. And when that isolation happens, you go into your head, which doesn't solve the problem at all. But I think once people now see there's a community of people really struggling with some of the same things, because, you know, when, you know, there's a lot of social media couples out there, and I love some of these couples, they're adorable, but then I'm like, stop just only posting the positive things. Like, right. Teach people that there's other aspects of how you got to this 15 year marker of your relationship, or this 10 year marker, or share how you had infertility issues and how you got here. And you see some of that too, but people are seeing moments of people's life, like just moments.
Exactly.
The best moments, right? I call it the highlight reel, right?
That's
so as a result, they go into relationships thinking like, okay, my relationship doesn't mirror this. So it's like, what's wrong with me? Not realizing that there's so much happening behind the scenes that people probably aren't bringing to you. So I think your community is a nice safe space for that, because like for infertility, for example, I mean, there's a lot of women now that's very hard on a relationship. Who had put off having children, maybe they put their career in the forefront, or maybe they took, you know, they want to really take time about being selective of who they want to have a baby with. And then when they get that partner, they really want that family, but then they can't get pregnant.
Yeah.
And there's so many challenges around that. There's hormonal changes that affect how the person operates. There's a lot, because I have friends who've gone through some of that. So it's just, those are really important things for people to know that, you know, they're not alone in dealing with it, but there are ways to cope through it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that word transparency, because for one, it doesn't matter how successful you are. When that level of transparency is revealed, as we are discussing, it provides a level of power to the person that may be going through something. In this case, we're talking about relationships. I can share this story once. There was an old pastor who was actually talking about how he used to struggle in the beginning. And he said something, I'll be honest with you, it triggered something with me, because I thought I was the only one that had gone through that. I'm looking at this guy with a three-piece suit on. He said, and I can remember when I struggled to find gas money. And I was like, struggle to find gas money, and I had to stretch $3 for a few days. Now, it's not about the story, but it's about the fact that someone was willing to share that with the masses, so that it could help lift the spirits of those who were listening to recognize, okay, I'm going through that too. It's not just me. As Elizabeth said, isolation will shame you. And the reason that shame comes with isolation is because you don't think anyone else is going through what you're going through.
That's right.
But when you can get out of that shame bubble, because I do believe there are spirits at play to keep us in those isolated modes, because they know if we get out of those isolated modes, we'll be able to tap into these mentors, as you speak of, and individuals that help transform us to where we need to go.
Right. And I love that you mentioned that, because, you know, everybody goes through struggle, but we don't always share that struggle, right? But when you hear that from someone who you see as successful, whatever that success is in life, in marriage, you know, it gives you hope that, you know what, this person went through this and look at where they are now. I can do that too, you know, and that's what it's all about.
And I think that's why your group is important, because it's giving people hope. Absolutely. It's giving people that are engaged hope that they can have a successful marriage and what it takes to have a successful marriage. And it's also giving hope to the people who are married to like continue sustaining, mentoring these people and building up, because that transfer of knowledge, I'm sure, is happening on both sides. You know, it's kind of like when you become, you know, when you mentor someone in general, like they could be younger, less experienced, look totally different than you. And you walk into like, okay, I'm mentoring this person. And then it flips, because there's really a cross-pollination that happens of learning on both sides. So
right. And what I will say, because the way Friends with Rings works, we're not really like setting up mentors, so to speak. It's allowing people, because I believe that mentorship is something that has to be organic, right? Yes. So it's through you communicating and learning and finding your people, finding your village within that village to truly help you. But what we do is we put different systems in place. So we have monthly events where couples can come out and learn about different things from whether it be coaches or doctors or counselors or even our board members. They each host one event each year. So there are a variety of opportunities for them to learn different things. And then we have that provider network, which are those coaches and counselors that they can speak to. But what I've found is that, you know, we have couples that have been married for 20 years. They come in and they don't even see themselves as being veterans in the game, right? You know, one of the couples, they told me, they were like, look, we've been married 20 years, but you know what? That time does not equal happiness. So once they come in, they're like, we're learning this too. You know, they're coming to these events and they're like, wow, this has been groundbreaking for our marriage, just to hear these things and to learn from people and to even see that passion in newlyweds or newly engaged couples. It ignites something in them. So there's something for everyone.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good point. I'm glad you kind of reiterated mm-hmm. that there's learning at different phases, because you're right. I would look at someone like my parents, fortunate to come from a long line of people in my family. My parents were married 57 years until my mother's passed.
She's being humble right now.
And then I have aunts and uncles that stayed married over 40 years. I'm like, what? How do you do that? Like, mm-hmm. you know, and I was married before and I'm remarried now, but I know it could be hard. And, you know, sometimes you hit those hurdles and you just don't know how to overcome those hurdles. Right. But that being said, you're right. There's learning at every phase. I remember my mom saying to me, you could be with someone for 50 years plus, and there's still things you're learning about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Amazing.
Yeah. So what do you feel like are the common threads that you see are challenges, you know, in marriages or in couples that are newly engaged that are trying to navigate towards marriage?
Yeah. Honestly, the biggest challenge that I've seen across the board, this goes for engaged, this goes for married, is communication, right? Because it's not just how you communicate when you're angry or how you communicate when you want something. It could be like, you know, there is misalignment in our sex life, you know, and it could be a couple that's been married for 20 years or 10 years, 5 years, whatever it may be. But all of those issues come down to one thing, and it is communication.
Interesting. I agree with you. Like, I know we usually say like communication, finances,
but it's how you communicate about those finances. Well,
everything,
right?
You're right. The thread between all those things is communication.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad you said that, because it's not necessarily the topics that we find are challenging in relationship. It's the way those topics are communicated.
Yes.
And that is critical, because it can be something as simple as, hey, you know, let's sit down and go over a budget. Well, how is that being communicated one to another? Yeah. And let's be real. Let's say if a bill was missed, how do we communicate mm-hmm. that? Is it, you know, the significant other comes in and now they're arguing and they're upset, but that just totally rips apart whatever bridge of communication you may have had if the approach was different.
Yes, that's so true. So true.
So as you sit in like these different events that you guys are holding on a monthly basis, it sounds like you had some virtual retreats or events or workshops.
Virtual events mm-hmm. every month.
What would you say has been like the best advice you've heard for couples in their relationships that really like stuck with you?
It's still ingrained.
There's so many.
Let's do like your top three.
My top three. Oh my gosh. There's so many. I think one thing that maybe I learned from two events, actually. So the last event we had, which was a few days ago, was a sexpert panel. So we had a panel of sexologists. And one of the things that I did not know was a thing that is probably really important for many marriages is scheduling sex, right? I mean, as simple as that is.
He hates that, but go ahead.
I just fell off the radar, ladies and gentlemen.
Keep going.
As simple as that is, right? And it doesn't sound sexy, but it was like, you know what? That could be a thing. That actually sounds really good. Another thing I learned from one of our
what was this person's name? I want to make sure they're not related.
Oh, do you guys do that? Oh, I love that. I need some tips.
I feel like you have to be intentional. I'm a very big time manager though, because it's like I'm balancing a lot. So, and he is too. And so I'm always like, I just feel like you can miss moments, but he's more like, why do we have to schedule? And we don't always schedule. So there's some impulsive.
Yeah, right. Let's make that known.
You need that.
Yeah, trust me, there is impulsiveness now. We're not, let me check my Rolodex and see what, no. Okay, sporadic is the key here, all right? But yes, Elizabeth is very structured. And honestly, I've had to learn, I'll give the audience an example since we're being transparent here. There are times where, let's say I may go up to our bedroom, and I come in and this woman is always working on something. She'll have her folder or have her book. This book, she has a list of to-dos. Yes. Yeah, of course you love it. Of course, you know, but, from a male perspective, I come up and she doesn't know this. I'll come in, I'm like, okay, you know. And it's like, hey, baby. I'm like, hey, can we like remove? But again, I'm learning and we're learning. And I respect that aspect about her because it can be to 10 o'clock, 11. If Elizabeth doesn't feel something has been completed, mm-hmm. she will complete the task. So I'm learning that, and I'm learning to fall under the schedule occasionally.
But I'm also learning the balance of like relinquishing the schedule, like mm-hmm. just letting go sometimes and being in that moment. Because I think that's important too. Like sometimes there's moments you're like, okay, we're going to have sex. And you're like, you're thinking sometimes, okay, I need to knock out these three things. And if we have mm-hmm. sex, that's going to take away from that, right? Which is horrible. But on the flip side, when I've learned to like, you have to admit, I've learned to let go of that a lot more. So it's always a good thing to reconnect that.
Right. And on me as well, Ms. Tony, if I could say, all right, I'm an early AM riser. Mm-hmm. I am. I'm just like, look, whether it's my spiritual time, whether it's my wellness time, and there'll be times, see how I flip the tables? Because it's on me too. I'll sometimes feel a little rub on the shoulder and I'm like, oh. I really gotta get out of here because I'm in that mode. Now, keep in mind, I don't have a book. I'm not writing anything down. It's just whether it's 3 o'clock, whether it's 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, all right, and I feel that little touch. And a lot of times, I think I know what it is, mm-hmm. but I have things to do. Mm-hmm. So when I may be clowning my wife, but truth be told, I'm the same way, just on another plateau, if that makes sense.
And there's times I'm just like, can you lay here longer? He's mm-hmm. like, okay. So we're learning to compromise, right? That's the communication.
Yeah.
We're going to check out one of your workshops, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah, come on out every month.
Okay, so what would you say are your other two pieces of advice that you've heard that's been important?
The other advice I heard, and I love this. I actually spoke to my husband about this. I think it was yesterday, and I was like, we need to try this. So the other thing that I learned from one of our coaches was that a lot of the times, we don't always share things that we love about each other, or when we try to communicate to each other when we're upset, we're not truly listening, right? And some people try to send text messages and I'm upset and here's why I'm upset. And it's just long text messages, but no one's really reading it because you're preparing what you're gonna say next. You know, and she had this really great idea and it was to have a journal. And it's just a journal between you and your spouse and just to write down little things. It can be something that you really enjoyed about them. It can be something that maybe they did that really upset you and you need to get it off of your mind. You know, just write it down in this journal and then give this journal to your spouse. Allow them to read it. Allow them to take in time to formulate their response and just have this journal go back and forth. You know, it could be something encouraging. It could be something you looked amazing in XYZ, you know, yesterday or just anything, you know, and that kind of keeps it spicy because now you see the journal.
It's balancing things because I think our human nature, we were just talking about this, is we focus on what we don't have. Mm-hmm. So like single people are like, I want to get married. Married people are like, you're driving me crazy. I wish I had more freedom. And what it is I think you a lot of times are getting what you want mostly, but there's always going to be something else that it's just our human nature to want or crave something more exciting that we don't have. And I'm not even talking about like wanting to cheat or anything like that. It's like you could have a great mate, but you could be like, but you know what? He's really kind of just, mm-hmm. I don't know. He's a little frumpy the way he dresses. Mm-hmm. And you just focus and hone in on that, and I'm using that as a very like simple example, but you hone in on that one thing as, and you're not looking at, well, you know, he really is respectful to me. He loves on me. He brings me flowers. He cooks dinner at times. I like the journal idea because you're kind of recalibrating your mind towards like all the positives of the reason you chose this person. Because when we first dig into being with someone, we are looking at all the good reasons. We're over, there's still those things that come out later are always there.
So why does that diminish? And that would be a question I would, why does that diminish? Mm-hmm. What Elizabeth just said is so true. We're looking for the best in one another. Matter of fact, we don't even have to look, it's right there. Okay. That's what we're focusing on. Right. But then you get married or you get deeply rooted in a relationship, now you're looking for all the negatives.
Oh yeah.
And that is something that I know most of us are guilty of. Yeah. But why is it that way? Why can't the spice continue? You know, 5 years prior and 5 years later, I'm still looking for the good in this person.
Exactly. You know, that's true. It's true. And I see that in my marriage. I see that in a lot of other marriages. And then that leads me to the third, since you asked for three. The third thing.
I knew she was going to come to something.
See how I set that up?
Oh, yeah, I was ready. I was ready. The third thing is we did we call it our love seat session, which is when our coaches come in and do a group coaching session. We had a love seat session on understanding your marriage temperament. And so it kind of dives into your love languages. And also, so there's a quiz that you take to learn about, you know, how am I? How am I when I'm angry? How am I when I'm happy? How am I when I'm loved? You know, and one of the things that we find is that, you know, I am a super affectionate person. My husband, on the other hand, he is more of like a doer. So he's going to do chores. He's going to, you know,
he's a service guy.
He's an acts of service. Exactly. You know, and so one thing that we learned, and I think a lot of couples do this, is that you love the other person how, you know, you want to be in loved. My love language, right? But he doesn't see that I'm touchy-feely as, you know, his love language. Like he wants to go out and actually like do something for him, you know? So it's like, I found it really helped me to see like, you know what, this man really loves me. You know, all of the things that he does for me, but because it doesn't always match my particular love language, I don't always catch that. So now it's being more mindful, not just about how I want to be loved, but to love him in a way that means that in his brain, he hears it and it clicks. Oh yeah, this is love.
I think that's like an amazing example. So I'll tell you a funny story and you'll appreciate this as a newlywed. So Kay is also an acts of service person. And I'm more like affirmations, affection at times.
Which I didn't know, by the way, that I was an acts of service guy until the love coach / strategist broke that down. And I was like a kid sitting like, huh? I am? You know.
So he would bring flowers to me every week and he still does. It was just really super sweet. And so, you know, one time I was at the store with his sister and she's like, oh, these flowers are great. We were at Wegmans, which is like a, you know, a really cool little grocery store.
Oh yeah, I love Wegmans.
Wegmans is a very addictive place. It's like the Target of grocery store shopping, right? So anyway, we were there. She said, these flowers are really cheap. You should get them. You're here. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And I didn't tie this together. So I'm going to take the listeners through this. So I bought the flowers. I came home and Kay said, oh, those were nice flowers. And I was like, that's interesting. But I didn't think much of it. So then another week passed and I went and got some more flowers. And then finally he was upset and I couldn't like figure out why he was upset. And he finally explained to me like, that's my thing that I do for you. And you took away that thing. And I said, I'm sorry. And so it was a lesson to me about like, you know what, this is the way he's showing that he loves me. And I think when people hear love languages, they immediately think, okay, now you know my love language, do it. Right. And I don't think that's naturally how it's going to go. Right. I think it's making your partner more aware of your love language. Right. And you hope that they are now tuning into that, but they still will probably still demonstrate their love to you and their love language.
Exactly.
But it gives you a clue of why they're doing it, that particular thing. So I don't buy any more flowers for myself, people. I learned my lesson. And he, you know, that's his thing and he still does it. And I'm super appreciative of it. But I also recognize when I see those flowers, I'm like, this is his way of showing that he really cares and loves me. Awesome. So I do think you're right. Knowing these things about your partner it just gives you insight. We go in a relationship and we think, okay, people are going to understand me after a short period of time. Yeah. I was just coaching someone today and they've been dating someone for a short period of time. And they said, I'm going to give them one more month and that's it. Mm-hmm. And they've only been seeing them for like maybe 3 or 4 months. And I said, that's not really fair because you don't know this person. There's a discovery right. time period of getting to know someone. And that could take years. We know this because you have couples that are in it 20 years that are saying, yeah. I never thought about this. I never thought to communicate this way. Oh, yeah. But somehow we put this like pressure on relationships to cook very quickly, right? As mm-hmm. opposed to letting them simmer, build, and build to a boil, then, you know, fully cook out. Like, it's like we expect things really quickly. So oh, yeah. I just think that's really cool that you are able to bring that kind of workshop to the people. And then you're able to actually use it in your personal life and see it. Because I know I oh, could yeah. see like I was like, oh, the love languages doesn't mean going all of a sudden give me a bunch of affirmations. I mean, now he'll be attuned to that and he's aware of it, but I'm like, he's still going to show love in a way that he probably would want to receive love. So mm-hmm. I also have adapted my love language to him to do things that I know he really appreciates. He really does appreciate.
And if I can just interject right quick, it is not about the tangible things. Mm-hmm. I do not want the audience to right. think that if you're an act of service man, woman, that means I'm supposed to always get something tangible. That's not what that entails. What it means is, and again, the love coach actually expressed and explained this to me a long time ago to where I was, okay, I guess I am. But just for the audience, you know, does not mean you have to go out and buy something physical. If you do, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just, you know what? You wash your car. Or mm-hmm. I don't know, you cook a meal, you bring breakfast in bed. So I just want to make sure that the audience is not confused thinking that it's always based on monetary.
Yeah, because like the one for gifts, people typically think like it means you have to buy expensive mm-hmm. gifts. But for people with the gifts, it's really about you understanding who they are, knowing what they enjoy. So the gift could be a walk in the park because mm-hmm. they enjoy nature. You know, it doesn't mm-hmm. always have to be like Kay is saying something extremely, you know, expensive, because I think people's mind go to those tangible things first. And sometimes it's a lot of the intangible things that mm-hmm. get you there and closer and build that.
So what's your love language, Miss Tony?
Oh, my love language is quality time. Like to me, they're like quarantine. I have been loving, as much as we get on each other's nerves, I've been loving that I get to wake up every day and like be with my husband every single day. You know, I just love that. You know, so quality time is huge for me, but it's also what I'm finding now is great. We're spending all this time together, but can we actually do some fun things together during this time? Like, can we have a date? Like I during quarantine, I really picked up living room, like picnics. So like, I'd like throw a picnic blanket down in the living wow. room and like move all the furniture and, you know, we'll get dressed up and like sit on our living room and just eat and talk to each other. Like, I love those things. So that's quality nice. Time is huge for me.
Wow.
That's good. And so your husband, has he kind of adapted to do, he seems like he's open to some of the things you've been suggesting. He did the picnic in the living room. I'm guessing you weren't.
He's open to it. He's not always the best for it, but he eventually gets into it, you know? But yeah, he tries out my different ideas and, you know, he has his way of doing things. So my husband, he's very like analytical and numbers, like he's a civil engineer. So he's just, like,
oh yeah,
you know, yeah. just give me the XYZ. I don't need the details. Like, what are we doing? What time, you know, and that's it. He'll show up. But yeah, he's more so the acts of service kind of guy.
All right, it looks like you're in the love seat right now.
So
the other question is, and me and Elizabeth have learned this about one another. In most relationships, I would guess, you have one who's a planner and one who's the more spontaneous one. I'm just curious, which one are you and which one is your husband?
I am definitely the spontaneous one.
Ah.
He is the planner. You know, he's super organized, super detailed. Me, I'd like write something down in like a notebook and I'm like, which notebook did I write that in? You know, but him, he has like charts and spreadsheets. So he helps keep me organized to balance each other out.
Now, what's his last name? I want to make sure there's no relation.
Right? He's craft just like me. Oh yeah.
I understand. He's an engineer. He has to be that way. I get it. Yeah. I get it. We have really enjoyed having you on the show. This is awesome.
Yes.
Can you please just remind people where they can find you, how they can learn more about your community, how they can become members?
Yeah, for sure. So you can find us online. Our website is friendswithrings.com. You can also find us on Instagram, and we are Friends with Rings Network on Instagram.
Well, it was great to have you on the show. I think our listeners are totally going to enjoy the advice.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I think our listeners are totally going to enjoy the advice that you provided about relationships, especially dealing with some of the challenges we have right now going on. Just, you know, staying creative, staying connected to your partner. And that communication is the key and the linkage to all of it.
And ladies and gentlemen, do you guys see how all three of us just sat on our own little comfortable chairs and sofa beds, wherever we're sitting, because we're just lounging, having casual conversation. And we hope that this conversation with Miss Tony and the rest of the crew was impactful.
So you guys definitely check out Tony and Craft. Her Instagram page is Friends with Rings Network. Again, she'll be having some openings for some more community members soon, but she definitely has a lot of positive, promising activities going on with this community. So definitely check it out when you have a moment. And we will be back with another show in the future.
Yes, indeed.
Until next time, guys. XOXO. And don't forget, you can listen to us on the Anchor app, Spotify, a Google Podcast, and many other formats.
Till next time.